And that word was spread. Just look back on the pages of history. The kingdom of God did not spread by sword or by might. In fact, the kingdom of God spread by the blood of God's people as they laid down their life and the world by the sword put them to death. And yet, the gospel spread. Persecuted as they were, and as much as the devil tried to stop them, they could not, because the same Jesus who died for them was risen and reigning on his throne, controlling the tides of history, protecting his people and his church, empowering and emboldening them with the gospel. And still today, these words are fulfilled as he says, "You will be my witnesses." And the gospel is spread. And the kingdom of God continues to go out from, yes, starting in Jerusalem long ago, but now to the ends of the earth.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, May 25th, 2025, Acts 1, 1-11.
You know, it's a sad fact throughout history that they were able to behold him, touch him with their own eyes, and behold that Jesus had conquered the enemy. The significance of his resurrection meant Jesus had done it all. Remember how he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone, they're forgiven." And remember, as we read earlier, how he said, "This fulfills what was spoken about in the Psalms, the prophets, in the words of Moses, that the Christ would suffer and forgiveness would be preached in his name." You could say the battle was won. The mission was accomplished. Except that the disciples here still needed something. They were part of his plan too. Up until this point in history, God had not sent out Israel to the nations, not so much. Sure, an occasional prophet was sent to places like Assyria, and people were brought into Israel from surrounding nations. Israel was a voice, a witness to the nations. But God did not send them yet to the ends of the earth. If they had tried, I'm sure they would have failed because they were not equipped. They did not have what they needed, and the enemy was strong. But Christ has come. He disarmed the powers and authorities, as Paul says. He defeated the enemy, the devil, and crushed him underfoot by his death on the cross. He atoned for his people. He provided for forgiveness, and now he had a message: "My kingdom will go out." Now, when tactics change and technology changes, warfare, of course, changes, the way you fight. God had always fought this way, but now it was going to go out to the rest of the world. As he told his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So what does he mean by this? We really have to pause here, because here Jesus is telling his disciples, "Don't go out into battle just yet. I've got something to give you. I'm going to equip you before you head out on this mission for my kingdom." And as you look at it, he says, "For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." First of all, don't misunderstand. This doesn't mean they don't have the Spirit. Jesus already said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They already had the Spirit, as Jesus said, and we read in John 3, "You must be baptized and born again of water and the Spirit." The baptism of water was nothing inferior. In fact, it was for forgiveness. But Jesus is saying here, John's baptism, that made you my own. John baptized you with water. He gave you forgiveness in the Spirit. But now you're going to be baptized and equipped to go out. The first baptism was a real washing with water and receiving of forgiveness in the Spirit. But now the Spirit is going to pour out on you and equip you for the next stage. The disciples didn't understand. When it came to their understanding of God's battle plan and his tactics, they said, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus, are you now going to do what was prophesied about all the nations coming to Jerusalem and bowing down, all the glory of the Lord shining from Jerusalem? Is this going to happen? And it appears in their mind, they were saying, Lord, are you now going to do what the crowds around us, what we've been hoping, that you'll bring ordinary physical power and crush the enemy, the Romans, and make us a great nation? Sadly, still today, many people are asking this. When is God going to fulfill the prophecies about Jerusalem and lift it up physically above the nations? After all, isn't this what he prophesied? Isn't this God's battle plan? And they sadly invest themselves in the battle plan of this world. They send their money, instead of spreading the gospel, they send their money to the land of Israel, and they try to build up a physical kingdom. And they lose sight. God does not fight by mere power of this world and by the mere strength of man. God does not fight by the technology of drones and warfare that is going on in this world. His kingdom is not spread as God takes a physical sword and devours his enemies. No, Jesus has to answer this question in a way that they can understand how his warfare, how his kingdom will go out and spread. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? And some people in interpreting this say Jesus doesn't really answer their question other than giving them, not now, now is not the time. But I think as you look at this, Jesus actually does answer their question. First of all, he does address, no, this isn't the time for what you're thinking. It's not going to happen at this moment. But then he says, in a few days. As you read on, as you look at the context, he says, in a few days, you'll be equipped. What the Father is going to send and what I promised and will send is coming. He answers their question by saying, you're not to know the time, but the role is very different from what you think. Am I going to restore the kingdom? He turns to them and says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus' plan for his kingdom, his tactic, is to take his people without sword, without power or weapon or advanced technology of any sort, but to pour out his Spirit on them, and by his Spirit to equip them for the stage that they are about to face, to spread the gospel and the restoration of Jerusalem, the restoring of God's kingdom on earth, takes place starting in Jerusalem. And from there, the glory of God goes out as his witnesses speak about what he has done. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you realize this is an outline of the book of Acts, of the history of the church? God's plan for his spreading of his kingdom is found in his people receiving his Spirit, as we'll celebrate in 2 weeks. As he pours out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they are equipped for their journey, for their mission. They are given all the tools that they need as the Spirit makes them bold and gives them the gifts they need to spread his word. And the spreading of God's kingdom, the restoration of his kingdom and the glory of Israel is seen in this. God's witnesses speak of Jesus. And we read on that that's exactly what had to happen. Jesus, after he spoke these things, visibly left. Clearly, he is not here to wage war by his own strength. He's not going to be in front of his disciples driving out demons or rebuking the devil. He is going to send them. You will be my witnesses. Brothers and sisters, this message was given, entrusted to the apostles, and it was fulfilling the word of the prophets. Peter, one of those witnesses, tells us, we have the word of the prophets made certain, and you do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in the darkness. And Peter goes on to say, and we are witnesses of the glory of Christ. We have seen him, touched, and felt his glory. Christ died for sin. And they were sent out to, yes, baptize with water and the Spirit, but also sent out with the Spirit equipping them with gifts. And that word was spread. Just look back on the pages of history. The kingdom of God did not spread by sword or by might. In fact, the kingdom of God spread by the blood of God's people as they laid down their life and the world by the sword put them to death. And yet, the gospel spread. Persecuted as they were, and as much as the devil tried to stop them, they could not, because the same Jesus who died for them was risen and reigning on his throne, controlling the tides of history, protecting his people and his church, empowering and emboldening them with the gospel. And still today, these words are fulfilled as he says, "You will be my witnesses." You guys aren't eyewitnesses and that you've seen the risen Christ like the original apostles sent out. And you don't have the exact same gifts of the Spirit that the apostles once had, perhaps. But the Spirit still equips the church. Christ still sends you to carry his word. And we still have work to do. There are those in this world who are looking for a kingdom that is merely built off of physical things, the powers of princes and rulers. There are those who put their trust in weapons and technology and politicians. There are those who think that this world will be better if we invest in those things and get it right. But God's kingdom is far different and far greater. His kingdom is one of forgiveness and peace with God. His kingdom is one where our sins are removed and his righteousness is given to us. And his kingdom is one that will never end, though all the kingdoms of this world will fall. And because Jesus lives, we know we have work to do, spreading that kingdom as we give witness to Christ. His, as Luke says, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and now his ascension. And the good news is he's coming back. The angels said, "This same Jesus that you saw taken up from you into heaven will return just as you saw him go." That is, Jesus will visibly come back. Our Lord Jesus, who now sits exalted in glory, will come again in glory, as we read in Revelation. And then his kingdom will become a visible one, a kingdom where righteousness reigns, where peace abounds, and where the enemies of God can no longer harm. And that's what we are now witnesses of. Christ has come. Christ lives. Christ has ascended in glory. Christ reigns, and Christ will come again. You have work to do, not by the power of this world, but by faithfully holding to his message, and not by your own strength or power, but as the Holy Spirit gives you the various gifts that he pours out on his church. Gifts of service, gifts of encouragement, gifts of generosity, gifts of evangelism, teaching and preaching. And the gospel is spread. And the kingdom of God continues to go out from, yes, starting in Jerusalem long ago, but now to the ends of the earth, to give glory to the people of Israel and to the Holy One of Israel, Christ, our ascended King. Because he lives, we have work to do until his return. Amen. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.